Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as always, we praise You for all the many blessings and the protection and the provision that You have given us out of Your grace this day. Thank You for the ability to be here and start off this year praising the name of Jesus. Lord, it is my prayer that You would be the focal point, that Your message to all of us would be the only voice that we can hear now. Take me out of the way. Take our wandering minds out of the way. Take all the troubles of the week and the month and all else away for just a few moments, Lord, is our prayer, that we may hear Your sweet, small, still voice speaking to our hearts in love. We thank You in advance for what You're going to show us. And we pray that we would walk out of this room more like Christ, loving You more, following You more closely, and more in the center of Your will than we entered it. For it's in Christ's name we gather, it's to His name we sing praises, and it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. And all God's people said, Amen. Well, Happy New Year again. Good to be here with you. I want to invite you to turn with me in your Bibles, please, to the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 1 through 4 this morning. It's a little letter written from Paul to Timothy, his brother, whom he called a son, his fellow Christian, his fellow missionary, a man that he thought very well of and left in charge of an important church, and therefore wrote a letter back to him as the pastor of that church. And we get to get some great Spirit-filled, God-breathed blessings from it this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, God's Word says this: I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and have quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. Paul says, I urge first of all. In the beginning, I want to make sure you get some things right, he says. This is January 1st. It's the first day of the week. It's the first day of the month. It's the first day of the year. It's a time when we want to get started off on the right foot. We want to get some things accomplished that maybe we didn't last year. We want to lose some weight. We want to save some money. We want to do this. We want to do that. We reflect back on the previous year, and we look expectantly toward the coming year. It's a time of year when we think about things we want to do better, the ways we want to be better. And before we go any further, as we think about the changes that we're going to make and the things that we're going to do that we haven't been doing and the things we're going to stop doing that we have been doing, I want you to hear one simple thing before we go any further, straight from my heart to yours. God Almighty loves you just the way you are. And we can all be better. We're all flawed. Look around. Y'all, come on, that's a little bit of a joke. Loosen up, all right? But God loves you and me just the way we are so much that Jesus came to die for us. So while we can do better, don't think you have to earn God's love. You couldn't anyway. He loves us all just the way we are. It's time of year when we get a lot of information from the news media about things that happened over the past year and people that we lost. People that have died, usually the famous people. It was Muhammad Ali passed away this year, and several musicians, Prince, and Alan Thicke off of the sitcom, the TV show Dad, died. We get to hear about the passing of these people that touched a lot of lives. But let me introduce you to one that you probably didn't know about. His name is Dr. Donald Ainslie Henderson. And just so you know what this fellow looks like, there he is. And I realize nobody likes raising their hands in church because we're not Pentecostal or anything, but has anybody ever heard of this fella? Donald Henderson. Nobody's heard of him, and nobody knew that he passed away August 16th of 2016. It was actually August 19th, but regardless of which, who is Dr. Donald Henderson? From 1977 to 1990, he was the dean of John Hopkins School of Public Health in Baltimore, and that's an impressive feat, but that is not why we should know who he is. I mean, most of us wouldn't. But Dr. Donald Henderson, from 1967 to 1977, over a decade, spearheaded and led a campaign that eradicated smallpox from the face of God's green earth, getting children vaccinated, and he pretty well eliminated that disease for all time. A disease that is estimated to have taken roughly 500 million lives in the 20th century alone. Now that's a contribution, amen? That touches a lot of people. But we've never heard of him. Here's the point. We're being fed information all day long. Cell phones, tablets, TV, radio. We're being fed stuff all day long. And what we've been sucked into, even as God's people, is we get caught up and we pay attention to the wrong things. We focus on the wrong stuff. And the right stuff gets left with no time, no energy, no effort to deliver to it. Now, it's easy to get caught into the flow of traffic, the current, as it were, of our society and our culture, but I want you to know that as God's people, as followers of Jesus Christ, we are called to be different. We are called to look different, act different, talk different, walk different, smell different. And we can be. What we need to do, instead of watching so much, instead of listening so much to the things that are coming in our ears, instead of texting so much, instead of reading so much, instead of surfing the internet so much, instead of complaining so much, instead of all these things, we just need to make a vow, as Paul said to Timothy that he wanted him to do, first of all, that requests, prayers, and intercession and thanksgiving be made for everyone. Let's start off 2017 as God's warriors of prayer. Let's make it a point to make prayer a bigger priority in the coming year. I believe that I believe that I believe, because God's Word says it, that if we'll do that, He'll bless us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17 says, pray continually. All right, we can all admit that we have fallen maybe just a little bit short of that, okay? Pray continually. Exactly how do you work that in? How do you do it? And that's what I want to give you this morning is a few tips on how to pray continually. Prayers that and supplications that you and I can do as you're walking across campus, as you're brushing your teeth, as you're driving your car, as you are sitting at home at night, whatever the case may be, some things that you and I can begin to pray as a matter of habit as God's people beginning right now. Number one, there's 20 of them. I know that sounds like a lot, but we're going to go through them pretty quick and they're fairly short. Number one, just some things to pray. Thank you, God, for this day. Thank you, God, for this day. Something I got in the habit of years ago, thanking God for this day at the beginning of most of my prayers, because every single day is a blessing from God. Amen? Every single day is filled with His provision. Every single day is filled with His grace. Every single day He has given you and me plenty to be thankful for in this day. On the worst of my days, it was a good day because it was a day that the Lord has made. Psalm chapter 118 verse 24 said, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So no matter what today is, no matter what tomorrow is, remember to thank God for this day. All the good things in your life, each and every day, were provided by God. Number two, and you've probably prayed this one, be with me. Be with me, Lord. I'm going to need your help. Be with me. I don't know where this road's leading, but Lord, I ask you, be with me. Psalm 118 verse 6 says, the Lord is with me. He's promised to do it. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me if the Lord is with me? Lord, be with me. I'm going to need your help. Number three, and here's another good one. God, you are just so good. Just get in a habit of saying, thank you, God, you are so good. Get that song stuck in your head. 1 Chronicles chapter 16 verse 34, give thanks to the Lord for He is good. His love endures forever. Thank you, God. You are so, so good. Number four is another one that you've probably been praying. Give me strength. Oh, Lord, give me strength. Right? All right? We're getting the habit of that one. Let's make sure we stay in the habit of that one. Give me strength for this day to endure whatever comes my way to make it through. Give me strength. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. What Paul is writing to the Galatians, what God is promising you and me, is if you don't get too weary, if you don't give up, if you keep on keeping on, seeking God's will, pursuing His way and His hand on your life, all right? At the proper time, when the time comes, you will reap a harvest. A harvest takes some time sometimes, but if we stay with it, it will bear fruit. We pray to God each and every day, Lord, give me strength. Number five, we need to pray, protect me. There's much danger in this world. There's much physical danger. There's much emotional danger. There's much psychological danger. There's much spiritual danger in the world. Let's get in the habit of praying continually, God, protect me. Protect my loved ones. Protect my children. Protect my grandchildren. Luke chapter 10 and verse 19. And this is a little bit different as far as an illustration goes. But Jesus said, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. Jesus says, I've been given power and I will utilize that power to help you and protect you. Jesus has promised that He will protect us. The same power that rose Him from the grave is the power that protects us. And He uses the point, give you and I the power to trample on snakes and scorpions and handle them and not be harmed. So with that in mind, we'll bring them out. The snake, no. All right. Just wanted to make sure that you're paying attention. Protect me, Lord. We need it. Number six. Thank you, God, for what keeps me busy. I think that's the most utilized word in the English language this time of year. How you been? Busy. Busy. It's busy all the time, but mercy. What comes at us in December? And I'm one of these people that loves to get back to January. Not that I don't like Christmas. I'm not one of those people that doesn't like Christmas. I love it. But just a little bit of return to normalcy is welcome in my world, okay? That's just me. But thank you, God, for what keeps me busy. I was a little late getting here this morning. Not terrible, but later than I want to be. I like to be here and get my mindset right before the early service starts. And I was running behind this morning because, first of all, I'm gimpy on this knee that I had surgery on a month ago. And then I'm trying to help my wife get her stuff together and our four-year-old dressed. And have you ever tried to dress a four-year-old? Many of you know exactly what I'm talking about. It does not go smoothly. It's a, put your foot, put right, the foot, put it in the other foot. It's always the other foot. The other foot, put right, no, here, look at, all right, that's the way it goes. And it's even worse because I can't get down any lower than I can because of my knee. But let me tell you something. I am thankful for a four-year-old to dress. Thank you, God, for what makes me late. I'm thankful for the fact that God allows, through His power, medicine to escalate to the point that they can fix my knee. And it'll be fine. Thank you, God, for what makes me late. For what keeps me busy. Thank you, God, for a job to provide for my family that keeps me so busy. Thank you, God, for my friends. Thank you, God, for my church. Thank you, Lord, for what I have in my life that keeps me busy. Because most of the stuff that keeps us busy, and what the problem is, we're managing all the blessings, so many blessings that God has given us. He's poured out the cup on top of our lives, and so many blessings, so much of it, that we have trouble managing it all. Thank you, God, for what keeps me busy. Number seven, give me rest. Hebrews 4:1 is not in there, Tim, but it says, and with regards to His rest, make sure that none of you, the children of God, God's people, have fallen short of His rest. Make sure that you haven't. Christian life is never meant to be, or is not supposed to always be easy or simple or without problems or trials or stretching you and enriching your faith and giving you perseverance. It's not supposed to be without difficulties, but it is supposed to have rest. We're supposed to rest in the fact that God has given us this day and so many blessings. Rest in that. He's in control. Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30, Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. Is that us? Okay, come to me, all of you, and I will give you rest. That is a word that Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, says to you and to me. He says, take my yoke upon you, and you will learn from me. See, you'll get better. You'll gain knowledge. You'll gain maturity. For I am gentle and humble at heart. And you will find rest for your souls. Where do we find it? Only in Jesus. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Lord, give me rest. It's one of those things that we don't pray for and we don't get. All we have to do is ask. Number eight, help me to love. Help me to love because it's not natural to come from me. It's not natural to come from you. It does not come from flesh and blood. Love cannot. The Bible says love never fails, and I fail. So do you. So it can't come from me. It has to come from God. So what I need to do is I need to ask God to give me love that I can pass on. I need to ask God to help me pass along His love to those that I want to show it to and those that I don't want to show it to. Help me to love, Lord, because I can't do it by my own. Romans chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Now, let me just tell you something about these two verses. It's about four or five phrases there, and we have a tendency to block them off. One, two, three, four, five. These are four or five things we need to do. No, that's not exactly the way Paul wrote this. It's not the way the Spirit inspired it as I see it. I think what he's trying to say, very simply, is love must be sincere. And then what he does in the next few phrases is zooms in on it closer and closer each and every time. Love must be sincere. We can't be sincere. Only God can be sincere, okay? How do I be sincere? Zoom in on that. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. That's how we're being sincere in love. Zoom in a little closer. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Now we're not just talking about other stuff. We're talking about other people. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. And as we zoom in real close and see the very pores in the skin of the statement and the very sweat of the brow of it, we see it for what it truly, truly is. Honor one another above yourself. Zoomed right in on what sincere love is. It's sacrifice for other people. It's the only true godly love. Help me to love. Number 9. Let me see you. God, let me see you today. Because there's a lot going on and a lot being thrust at me and a lot coming at me. Lord, I just need to see you, to be encouraged, to know what to follow, to know how to step next, to know what to do. Lord, let me see you. Because God, even in the worst of my days, if I see you in it, we'll be fine. We will make it. Let me see you. Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 12 through 14 says, "Then you will call upon me, says the Lord, and come and pray to me." God says, "And I will listen to you." Sometimes we feel like God's not listening. He promises that is not the case. I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. He says if we seek Him with all of our heart, we will find Him. And if we ask to see Him, He will reveal Himself to us. If we knock on His door, He will answer. And will bring you back from captivity. Whatever it is that has you captive. We talked about that last time. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. Right to the center of my will for your life. Help me see you, Lord. Bring me back to where you would have me to be. Number 10. Fill me with joy. Because it ain't coming natural anymore. Fill me with joy. We've said many times that biblically, when we see something is filled with something, it means controlled by. Filled with fear, controlled by fear. Filled with the Spirit, controlled by the Spirit. Lord, control me with the joy that comes from knowing Jesus Christ. Now, let me tell you something. You, the one sitting in the red pew, you know the God of all heaven and earth. You know the Creator, the Sustainer, the purpose, and the destination of all creation through the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross at Calvary. You know Him, you have access to Him, and you are created to enjoy His goodness. There is no reason why you and I can't be filled with joy. None. We need to ask God to fill us. Fill us with that joy. John chapter 15 and verse 11. Jesus said, "I have told you these things so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." Fill me with that joy, O Lord. It's a good prayer to get in the habit of saying. Number 11, show me how to glorify you. I believe that we were all created to glorify God. It is the purpose of our life. It is the reason you and I are still here if we're saved. The reason He has not called us to heaven yet. It's so that we can glorify Him. We need help in how to do that. Lord, show me how to glorify You. Psalm 86, 8 through 10 says, "Among the gods there is none like You, O Lord." That's great. "No deeds can compare with Yours. All the nations You have made will come and worship before You. O Lord, they will bring glory to Your name. For You are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. You alone are God. Lord, help me, show me, cause me to glorify you. That's a prayer we need to get in the habit of this year. Number 12, give me a generous heart. It's a lost art. Give me a generous heart. We start flowing in the direction that all of traffic is going, and we get very self-centered in what we're going to keep and what we're going to gain and what we're going to accomplish. We have to pray, Lord, give me a generous heart. And for good reason. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 25 says, a generous man will prosper. Right there's five words that maybe we should pray right now sticks when we leave this room. You with me on that? A generous man will prosper. God said that. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. So this prayer is not only going to benefit others, but it's going to benefit me because God says that's how it works. Love being sincere and all that. Give me a generous heart. Number 13, here's another one we're probably not going to need a lot of encouragement to pray. Erase my worries. Erase my worries. There are so many of them. Not my troubles, not my problems, not the people I don't like. Lord, help me to trust you enough not to be anxious about any of it. It's a good prayer. Erase my worries. John 14:27. Jesus said, again, this is why it's so important that we understand what he said, peace I leave with you. My peace, Jesus says, I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Take away my worries, Lord. Take away my worries. Number 14, another good one that we probably will have no trouble embracing. Help me. Help me, Lord. All right, we've probably prayed that a lot while we were trying to dress the four-year-old. Or whatever the case may have been. Help me, Lord. Psalm 34:17. The righteous cry out. It's another good four-word phrase that we ought to stick with. The righteous cry out. And the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. Get in the habit. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. The righteous cry out. 15. Let my words be uplifting. All the negativity and the complaining that goes on. Paul even mentioned in this letter to Timothy, he says, I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone. We're talking about he wants you to start with praying. And verse 2 says, for kings and all those in authority. That's where he starts with. Now, in this season that we find ourselves in, coming off of the most bitter election of all time, these are good words. Let my words be uplifting. It's real easy to worry about what's coming down the pipe or to complain about the way things have been or to complain about the way you think things are going to go. It's real easy. But the right prayer is, Lord, let my words be uplifting. Let's just take a minute and step off the teleprompter, if I may. A word to the wise about complaining, since we're talking about prayer. It's easy to get in that habit. The response to any complaint should simply be, lovingly, have you prayed about this? Have you prayed about this? Let's go pray about that for some amount of time and address it from there. Have you prayed about this? That'll help us a great deal. Let my words be uplifting. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. God's words to God's people, to God's glory, in God's name. Let my words be uplifting. Number 16, we're getting there. Forgive me and help me to forgive others. That first part is so easy. The second part does not come quite as naturally. Lord, please forgive me and help me to forgive others. Matthew 6:14 tells us, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. We need some help with that. And a prayer to get in the habit of, forgive me, Lord, for I've sinned and I am very flawed. Help me to forgive others, for they're in the same exact shape. Forgiveness. 17. Thank you, God, for being in control. Let me say that again. Thank you, God, for being in control. Thank you. It's not the Democrats or the Republicans. Thank you, God, that you are the one who is in control. Thank you. It's not the president or the governor or the dog catcher or the pastor or whoever. Thank you, God, that you are the one, the unflawed, the holy one. You are the one in control. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, if we could pray that incessantly, repeatedly, continuously. Thank you, God, for being in control. You know Jeremiah 29:11. He says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Well, God is saying, don't you sweat this. I am in control. Praise be. Number 18, show me what to do. Show me what I need to do, Lord. Show me. We need to pray that. Because what happens if we don't start praying, Lord, show me what to do, we decide what we're going to do, and then we end up praying, Lord, help me get through this, or help me get out of this, or help me make up for this mess. And if we'd started with, Lord, you show me what to do in this situation, and listen, then we could avoid the, Lord, help me out of this prayer. Just get in the habit of it. Show me what to do. Psalm 25:4-5. I love these verses. I was in TNTs when we were memorizing these. It says, "Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Teach me what it is you want me to do. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long." That's good stuff. Show me what to do, Lord. Number 19, purify my mind. One of the reasons that the world thinks we're all hypocrites, a lot of times our words will be pure, but when you peel back and you look at the actions and the mindset, it's not there. You can fake words. Say, Lord, purify my mind. Get all the nastiness out. May I be controlled by what is good. Purify my mind. Philippians 4:8. "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, those are the things you need to be thinking about." Think about such things. Purify my mind, O Lord. If we prayed that every day for 365 days, what do you think you'd feel like when we come right back here next year? How do you think life would be? Love to see it. I would really, really love to see that. Purify my mind. Last one. Lord, thank you no matter what. No matter what, Lord, thank you. Whatever it is you got planned, whatever it is you are doing, whatever it is comes my way, I have some things that I'm requesting, but I'm going to be thankful no matter what, because again, you are in control, and this is a day that you've made, and you've let me see you. Thank you no matter what. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in all circumstances, all of them, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. That's 20 things to remember to pray this year. The challenge is this. They're not just facts. They're not just helpful theological anecdotes. These are things that we should begin to pray according to God's will. Doubt, deception, discouragement, division. It's time for God's people to stop accepting these things as normal. It's not supposed to be for us. When mankind fell in the garden, when Eve had the fruit in her hand and she decided, after talking to the serpent, that she would just go ahead and take a bite of it, we, mankind, made the choice to relinquish control, to relinquish rulership, if that's a word, to a fallen angel named Satan. We decided that dominion of this world, we'll listen to him instead of the Almighty God. Spiritual warfare that the church is engaged in is the reversal of that process. The kingdom of God is like, the kingdom of God is this. And when you and I engage in prayer and fasting, when we are exercising the authority of Jesus Christ who died on the cross, when we as believers, empowered and indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, engage in prayer, we are utilizing the single most effective tactic there is in that warfare. Prayer. 20 things that we can pray. I hope that we can do that. Pray with me now, please. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for being a God who hears us. You are perfect and we are flawed. You are holy and we are fleshly. You are so good and we fall short of your glory. Yet you, in your grace and your love and your mercy, you hear us when we call out. Give us the resolve and the conviction to be warriors of prayer this year for the good of our marriages, for the good of our children, for the good of our church, for the good of this land, for the good of your name and your glory and all that you are and have for us in 2017. Lord, if there's anyone in our midst this morning who has not relinquished rulership of their life to you, who has not received the forgiveness that only you can give them, who does not have the promise of eternal life that only you can provide. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that they would come pray that prayer in Jesus' name here today before it's everlasting too late. We love you, Lord, and we thank you in advance for what you are going to do as you are in complete control. For it's in Christ's name, as always, that we pray. Amen. It's just a time of invitation. Whatever He is leading you to do, as hopefully you've been sitting in that pew in prayer as you're listening to me, it's very possible to do, and you feel Him urging you toward some step to come forward. Whatever He's inviting you to do, that's what I want to invite you to do.